Amir Barlef first presented his documentary Fighter, a film that portrays the well-known Czech emigres Jan Wiener and Arnošt Lustig at the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival in 2008. This year, the American filmmaker, whose second film My Kid Could Paint That got caught up in a media controversy, came back to the festival as president of the documentary competition jury. Sara Borůvka met up with him between movies and asked him what first sparked his interest in film and documentaries, what his role as a jury president entailed, and when he first visited the Czech Republic.
I studied film in undergraduate, and I did my initial studies in the United States, but I did an exchange program at FAMU, the Prague Film Academy, in 1993. And it was there that I met the two subjects of my first film, Arnošt Lustig and Jan Wiener.
In 2000, your documentary about those two, Fighter, got a special jury citation here at Karlovy Vary. And since then, you've also directed My Kid Could Paint That. Both of those are documentaries. So what is it that fascinates you about the genre?
I think the genre doesn't fascinate me as much as certain subjects that I've been lucky enough to, you know, been able to tell stories about. And in the case of Jan and Arnošt, we had these larger-than-life personalities, dear friends, but very different from one another. And ultimately, it becomes a story about stories themselves. It's a story about two friends who are battling over memory and history. And then in my second film, we had this four-year-old painter who was selling $25,000 paintings. That in of itself is, I think, very interesting. And then it became alleged that her father was secretly making the paintings. So, again, it became a story about stories because it became an interrogation of my relationship with them as a documentary filmmaker and the role of the press in celebrating this little girl who maybe shouldn't have been a celebrity, but her parents and all of us were kind of culpable in putting her on this pedestal. So I'm interested in stories about stories sometimes, most of the time it seems. And, you know, I learned a lot of that. I mean, a lot of the way I think is shaped from certain things that I've learned here in the Czech Republic. And also I became a fan of Czech literature and Czech cinema and Kafka and Hrabal and Kundera. And all those people have a kind of a way of peeking behind the curtain of stories. So I learned it in part in the Czech Republic.
So you already mentioned that during the process of filming My Kid Could Paint That, there was some allegations concerning the authenticity of the paintings. How did that change the final film?
I think when you make documentaries, you have to learn how to improvise. And, you know, improvising doesn't mean just observe what happens and be a fly on the wall and don't get in the way and just take in everything that's happening. Improvise means you have an idea about where you're going and what you're doing, but be willing to modify that idea as reality presents surprises. So I've had to do that in all films. Maybe everybody has to do that to some degree or another. And I learned a lot about improvisation from my time as a fan of the Grateful Dead. So the greatest improviser maybe of all time in rock and roll is Jerry Garcia. And, you know, you learn from people like that, musicians and filmmakers and writers, that, you know, it's a mistake to just impose a narrative on things. You have to, you know, be open to giving and receiving in terms of story.
And how much time would you spend with the subjects of your documentaries? What kind of time span? Months? Is it months we're talking about? A year?
Well, I've made three films, and let me think. Each of them took 2 to 3 years to make. It doesn't happen quickly. It's a good question, and it's especially poignant for me right now, having just watched Fighter for the first time in a while, and since both of its subjects passed away in the last year. So, you know, it's an interesting thing about these documentaries is that they freeze time in a kind of a way. And, of course, time itself doesn't really stop. And the people, you capture them at one moment in their life, and they go on and continue to live and then eventually die. And I'm almost 40. That was my first film. And this is the first experience I've had watching a film in which the people are no longer with us. It was especially moving for me.
And how close did you get to, say, Arnošt Lustig or Jan Wiener, or also the family of Marla Olmsted?
Those are very different situations. I mean, Arnaud Chtignan remain in my mind as some of the most important figures that I ever was lucky enough to be exposed to. And watching the film today, I kept thinking, now it's been 10 years since that film was made, and so much of the lessons, it's a film about two very wise men, and so many of those lessons I've tried to aspire to in life with varying degrees of success. But, you know, you have to count yourself very lucky to meet people like that, especially when you're young. The Olmsted family, I have a more complicated relationship with. But, you know, in each of these cases, what I like about documentaries is making documentaries brings up a lot of ethical questions, and it challenges you about what your values are. There is a lot of artifice around documentary filmmaking. It's a kind of a smoke and mirrors kind of thing. And so that always presents an interesting challenge in terms of your relationship with the subjects, because, you know, everybody wants to see themselves one way, and you may be showing them a different way. And then they also know that a year passed, but you turned it into 90 minutes, or 2 or 3 years passed, and you turned it into this short amount of time. So there's a certain amount of imposing a story, whether you're a documentary filmmaker or any kind of journalist, I think. And that makes it a complicated relationship with the people on whom you've imposed a story.
And now you are the chairman of the documentary jury, so how difficult do you find it to impose judgment upon other people's work?
Very easy. Now, just by virtue of showing your film here, you've already won on a certain level. But on a more real level, only one wins. No, I'm joking. The programming at this festival is fantastic. And we've only seen one day of films, but I'm really, really impressed and looking forward to seeing more. And, you know, winning is great, but it's not a race, you know. I mean, if you don't get a prize, it doesn't mean you lost. So I think you shouldn't pay attention too much to the competition aspect of it all.
And do you think there are some factors in documentaries that are very different from feature films, as in your role as a jury president?
That's an interesting question. I mean, what's funny is that documentaries always want to seem more like fiction films, and fiction films always want to seem more like documentaries. When you say, oh, that fiction film was so lifelike, it felt like a documentary, that's a compliment. But then if you make a documentary film, you borrow a lot of the tropes of narrative filmmaking. I think it's wrong for people to think one or the other is more real, I guess is what I'm saying. They're both just different modes of filmmaking, modes of storytelling. And it's sort of almost patronizing, I think, to think that, you know, documentary is the truth, or documentary is somehow more real. It's only real insofar as it taps into kind of eternal truths that narrative films can also tap into, and fiction can also, you know, literature, all kinds of art can try and tap into that stuff.
And you have visited Cairo Vivari Film Festival 4 times. I believe you've also been to a number of other festivals. What do you think makes this one special?
I'll tell you, I'm glad you ask, because I feel very, very privileged to have been coming back to this film festival for quite some time now. And so I've seen it through different eyes, you know, the eyes of a young person, you know, partying all night, even before I had a film here, then the eyes of a person with films here, and now as a juror. And I brought my family, I have my daughter here with me, and walking here with my daughter and my wife and seeing all this, you know, the corners where I, for instance, and my friends greeted the sunrise by drunkenly singing Tom Waits. It's really a great feeling, because, you know, it's especially poignant at this festival, because this festival does a wonderful job of creating a very genuine and meaningful experience for people who are coming from all different walks of life. You know, it's a world-class festival with celebrities and amazing parties and, you know, gala presentation. Yet it's also got a sense of like Woodstock or something. If you come here in the morning and you see all the Czech students who've been sleeping in sleeping bags in the rain underneath the ramp and things like that. The fact that those two experiences and so many in between coexist in one festival is very, very admirable. And, you know, that's unique to Carlo Vivari. You know, you have a lot of festivals that are very egalitarian, and you have a lot of festivals that are very high, upper class, but you have very few festivals that try to do both. And Carlo Vivari does it the best. And, you know, to have Carl Ach as the director, he's a guy who gets that spirit and who doesn't take celebrity too, seriously, and is a real cinephile. And that's what this festival has always been about. We see fantastic films here. And yesterday was our first day as a jury, and we saw great movies, and I got 10 more days of that, so I'm very excited.
And lastly, after your time here as jury president ends, do you have any projects that you're supposed to be working on later this year?
I'm directing my first fiction feature. It's about the acid trip in which Jerry Garcia's first marriage falls apart and the Grateful Dead are born. And I have a couple other projects I'm working on.
Sarah Borufka was talking there to the American filmmaker Amir Bar-Lev.